In the last week of July, within days of each other, news broke that two of Atlanta's longstanding music venues could be closing for good. The Masquerade on North Avenue, which occupies the 100-year-old Dupree Excelsior Mill, and Smith's Old Bar on Piedmont Avenue. Atlanta-based real estate firm Southeast Capital has owned the Masquerade's buildings since 2006. And they're developing an apartment complex and restaurant on the property. Meanwhile, the new owners of the property that is home to Smith's Old Bar have issued a 60-day notice to the club to vacate the premises. Tony Paris, an Atlanta native and longtime music writer, recently published a response in Arts ATL. And he joined WABE's Mike Johns in our studios to share his thoughts on what the loss of these two venues could mean for Atlanta's music scene.
Hi, my name's Tony Paris. I'm a music journalist and music archivist. And for 20 years, I worked at Creative Loafing as the music editor and the managing editor.
Bring us up to speed. What has been the news lately on The Masquerade and Smith's Old Bar?
Well, the news is that in both cases, developers have wanted to close the businesses and renovate the properties and, in most cases, put up multi-use buildings, which would probably have, you know, bars, restaurants, clothing shops, whatever, that would also, you know, enhance the living experience for those people living in the condos or apartments above in high-rise buildings. And what they seem to fail to grasp is, you know, they're always, people are always, you know, developers are always looking for anchor tenants. And they have two great anchor tenants right there. I mean, Masquerade's been in business for over 25 years. You know, Smith's Old Bar will be celebrating its 23rd anniversary soon. And these clubs, while, you know, some people may say, oh, well, you know, the Masquerade draws this kind of crowd or whatever, they draw tremendously different crowds for each event.
Yeah, talk about that a little. I mean, each of these clubs play vastly different roles in the Atlanta music scene. Can you talk about sort of the differences between them?
Well, Smith's Old Bar has primarily been a place where local bands getting their start, you know, after they've played some of the smaller clubs, like, you know, for instance, 529 or the Earl or some of those places, you know, then they can go play at Smith's Old Bar and draw a crowd. There are a lot of Atlanta bands that don't ever play those East Atlanta clubs, and those bands, you know, get their breaks and get their start at Smith's Old Bar. So Smith's has a combination of local bands and local, what I call local national bands, which are national bands that, in, by virtue of the fact that they aren't based in Atlanta, but they're part of a local scene somewhere else in the United States, and they're able to tour enough in order to bring people in to see them when they play somewhere like Smith's. But Smith's doesn't only cater to that. They also have national touring acts and, you know, stars, quote unquote, that have nowhere else to play.
Yeah. And are there any recent examples that you can cite? People that have played Smith's.
Ian McLagan played there not too long ago. NRBQ played there not too long ago. Dan Baird and Homemade Sin play there. Lori Carson has played there in the past. A lot of different people come through. And the reason for playing Smith's is simple. Smith's can afford to pay a little bit more because they have such a good bar and restaurant business as well. So Smith's pays to have people upstairs. Whereas if they were to play, if these groups coming through were to play the Variety Playhouse, they're not going to draw as big a crowd. They're not going to get a guarantee that affords them the chance to even come to Atlanta. And it's going to look pretty embarrassing when they play, you know, 200 people show up at the Variety Playhouse. Masquerade, being by virtue of the fact that it's open pretty much 7 days a week, mm-hmm. it has developed a crowd and an audience that comes no matter what. And because it's a larger venue, they can have more of these touring acts once they graduate to another thing.
So in your article, you write, in the past, for every Catacombs and Hedgens, and these are old venues that right. used to be around Atlanta, there was a Finocchio's, The Point, and 688. And for every Finocchio's and 688, there was the Electric Ballroom, the Great Southeast Music Hall, the Cotton Club, and the Agora Ballroom. Now, if I'm not mistaken, all of these places have long since closed.
All of those places have long since closed. And what I was trying to say there was that the first clubs I mentioned were very small places.
Sure.
And, you know, maybe they held 100, 150 people, that
like
sort
in,
of thing.
In today's parlance, the parallels would be like 529.
Right.
Or, yeah, smaller venues like that.
You know, and then, you know, they would graduate to that next level. And then they graduated to the Agora, and in most cases to the Omni,
yeah.
which is also another venue that's passed. But, you know, that's another subject.
This graduated system that you're talking about, with smaller venues feeding into larger venues and bands being able to move up in town. Now, the Atlanta music scene it's still here. It's still a very rich.
Very rich, very yeah. vibrant, so, very exciting.
So what makes the potential demise of just these two venues, what makes that stand out to you now in the landscape that we have today?
What makes it stand out is that what's going to replace them? And granted, there's always been, you know, as I stated, there's always been clubs that have closed and new ones have come in. But to establish a reputation and to get to a point where the clubs can make money takes at least 3 years, just like a restaurant or any other venture. And a lot of clubs don't survive that 3 years. You know, the Echo Lounge in East Atlanta years ago yeah. was a superb club.
Yeah. I saw so many great shows
yeah,
there.
Yeah, and it was a much-needed club. But, you know, its demise didn't make such impact, one, because social media wasn't as big back then,
mm-hmm.
and two, because it didn't have the history of being here. And
when it went away, the sort of the stature, I remember when the Echo Lounge closed down, the stature of the Earl just down the street sort of rose in prominence.
It rose to prominence, and it started getting some of those, you know, some of those touring acts, you know, but it didn't get Patti Smith, who played at the Echo Lounge, you know, and what do you do, you know? And that's it. It's that, yes, another club will come around. Will they survive? Some people have said, well, maybe with clubs closing, new clubs will come and new clubs will treat bands better or something like that, you know,
sure.
because they're new and they're trying to establish themselves. Well, that may be the case, but clubs closing is bad for business, and it's bad for musicians. It's especially bad for musicians at a time now when touring is virtually impossible. You know, there are a lot of indie bands that do put out a CD or a record and tour the country around it and build a following, but they're playing in smaller venues than they used to. They're not making as much money. And they're not selling their records or CDs because of downloads.
Well, and one other thing that is occurring right now in the Atlanta music scene at the same time that this news of the Masquerade and Smith's Old Bar is coming out is that rehearsal spaces have been closing down. Thunderbox shut down in, I believe, May. And I think Avatar Studios is scheduled to shut down in September. So a lot of Atlanta-based bands are, for all intents and purposes, becoming homeless.
Right.
So, and I can't help but think that adds to this sort of despairing reaction that people are getting to. You know, if one club were closing, I could see the reaction being like, oh well, but this is part of a larger pattern.
Right. Two clubs in 1 week, and then all the rehearsal spaces and studios closing, you know, what's a poor boy to do that joined a rock and roll band? Or woman, excuse me, but I'm just quoting an old Stones song. but, you know, the point is that, yeah, all these places are closing, and they're all closing because of developers. And the developers come in, and a lot of them come in from other cities. They have no idea of the history of Atlanta, the history of the buildings that they're taking over. And they just see it as an opportunity to tear things down and build something else. I mean, we're talking about a city that almost let the Fox Theater be destroyed by, you know, by a phone company. And you know, when I was younger, I actually worked on the Save the Fox movement. It held a place in Atlanta music and culture that would not have been filled if it had been destroyed. You know, another thing, just to mention this, a lot of clubs were established in Atlanta when the drinking age was lower. The drinking age used to be 18. One of the reasons 688 was around for so long was the drinking age was 18, and kids, they could go buy tickets and go see the bands. Masquerade, one of the things about Masquerade is it has all ages shows.
Yeah.
You know, the guys that own, you know, Dan Nolan and Mike Reeves, who own Smith's Old Bar, own the Cotton Club and own the Point. And before that, Mike Reeves owned a venue in McDonough, Georgia, the Peanut Palace. You know, so these guys have been around a long time, and they've developed something. You know, they've developed a process, and
yeah, there's a sort of institutional memory that lives inside of the walls of Smith's Old Bar and inside the walls of the Masquerade is what you're saying.
Right. And, you know, as we've discussed and as people have said, well, you know, these clubs may close, but other clubs will come in their place. But the difference is that in the Atlanta music history and in history around the country, clubs were started because the club owners had a love of music and wanted to give bands a place to play and give touring acts a place to play and wanted to expose audiences to a lot of different kinds of music. And, you know, what I'm afraid of is that these days someone may open a club as a career opportunity. You know, with the success of many local bands and bands like REM and all these DIY and punk bands, what happened was suddenly there became these music business institutes and colleges started giving degrees in music. And that's all well and good, but suddenly kids were going to these schools not because they had necessarily had artistic expression, but it was a career opportunity for them to make money. And if REM could do it, we could do it. And that's what I'm afraid of, that in the same way that a lot of bands have formed over the past 10 years, 20 years, because they've seen how successful bands can be, instead of because they have something to say, I'm afraid that club owners may start opening up new places and doing it specifically because they think they can make money off of it, rather than a love of music and a love of turning people on to music.
Well, fortunately, people who really love music don't seem to be going away. So, I mean, do you think that there's a little bit of hope in that?
No, there's hope. I tend to be somewhat cynical at times, but you know, with the creative artists that and musicians that are coming out of Atlanta and the things that are happening here, it's all positive. It's all very positive. But any time a place closes, it's bad for the scene. And you know, I'm one to believe that any time one door closes, another opens. It's very true. But in the club world, I haven't seen it happen like it used to. You know, the Electric Ballroom, the Agora Ballroom, and then nothing. The Masquerade sort of filled the bill, but it's a different animal altogether.
Tony, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I really enjoyed this, and I enjoyed having you get in touch with me.
That was writer and music archivist Tony Paris speaking with producer Mike Johns. You can read Paris's article on the closing of the Masquerade and Smith's Old Bar at artsatl.com.